This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to The Morning Run. You're here with Lynn, Roshan and Noel. In the US, stocks continued to rally, so the Dow and the S&P 500 both closed up 2%, while the Nasdaq closed up 2.6%. While Asian markets were all also in the green, the Nikkei was up 1.7%, Shanghai Composite up 1.3%, the Hang Seng up 3.3%, STI 2.9% up, while the FBM KLCI also closed up 2.5%. So for more insight into global markets this morning, we have on the line with us Tim Mulholland, president of TJM Limited. Tim, thank you so much for joining us this morning. Now, a narrow victory for Biden with a split legislature is looking to be the most likely scenario coming out of the US elections. What kind of resolution can we expect to see on the long-awaited fiscal stimulus? Is that even on the radar at this present time?
Yeah, it's on the radar, but in diluted fashion, which means that it's going to be more difficult and probably a lot less than what might have been previously hoped for.
And so with the Republicans likely to control the Senate, the U.S. may not get that big bazooka in fiscal stimulus. Do you expect the Fed will have to do more heavy lifting then in quantitative easing?
Yeah, I don't think the Fed can do much more than they're already doing, but I do think you're going to get some sort of stimulus regardless. It's just not going to be the, you know, $2 trillion type, I don't think. But there'll be something, but, you know, and it's unavoidable. But it's clear that the Fed's probably reached their limit on what they can do. They've underwritten every asset practically, so no asset left behind.
So in your view, why are the markets so happy with whatever outcomes that we are seeing right now in the U.S. elections?
I think what really did it was the fact that, you know, it was not a blue wave sweep. So therefore, there's going to be no change in taxes or anything for 2 years, anything unless, you know, until the Senate changes. So the market seems to always like this type of split government, and because they won't do anything, so they like that. But the other thing the market liked was how bond yields came down because of the fact that perhaps they're going to see a little more less likelihood of higher rates and maybe unwinding of the reflation trade, so forth. But what that does, it plays into the long duration growth stock play.
So on that note, Tim, when we take a look at the market right now, it looks like technology has been having quite a good few days. It's the Nasdaq is up 8% in the last 3 days or thereabouts. Going forward, which sectors would you be paying attention to given the current scenario?
Well, I tell you, it's amazing. There's multiples of revenue in Nasdaq. It doesn't make much sense. But you know, in the S&P, which was up, the breadth yesterday was actually lower. And so like 490 stocks in the index had breadth down. Usually it's the FANG, you know, that was leading this thing. So that's not a real healthy overall market sign. But having said that, I haven't given up on value, but I do think that materials are probably one of the best sectors because no matter what, I think they're going to get an infrastructure bill or something, some type of bill like that pushed through, which has been talked about for years, but I think that's going to happen. So that's why I really like materials a lot.
Tim, do you have any thoughts on Prop 22, the vote in California and its impact on Uber and companies like Uber and Lyft? I think there's been a bit of a lift in their stock price because of this. How far do you think this will take them?
Well, I hope it's good. I think that's good. I was really happy to see that. I mean, just because I believe in that, what they're doing. So I think that's what the doctor ordered for those type of stocks. The problem, you know, I guess that, you know, with the pandemic aside and all, I think that really bodes well for them. So it doesn't surprise me that they got a nice boost.
Now, forex trading volumes have also been quite buoyant, Tim, particularly on the yuan versus the dollar pairing. Do you have an outlook on the Chinese currency and what other currency pairings and trades are of interest to you right now?
Yeah, well, I tell you, first of all, I think you're going to see broad-based dollar weakness and I think a big bear market in the dollar. So I think we're going to see, I think it's going to be a nice trend. Having said that, I think that's going to, along with the strength of the Chinese economy, assuming that continues, and the capital flows that are going into China, given their bond yield differentials and so forth, I think that you're going to see the yuan trade back maybe towards, you know, what, 610, 615 was the all-time high back in like 06, maybe 05, 06-ish, 07. But I think you're going to definitely see upward pressure on the currency. So I think a lower dollar yuan.
Well, Tim, speaking about the yuan and China, does the crackdown on Ant's listing make you more wary of upcoming IPOs in Shanghai?
I was a little shocked when I saw that. And then I looked at what happened. So, you know, the CSRC, the China Security Regulatory Commission, and the CBRC, the Banking Regulatory Commission, have much more power than the SEC does here. So what they looked at and didn't like was Ant's lending. So Ant is a broker in lending. So they've got arrangement with the Chinese banks, which we know have debt issues and a lot of, you know, probably below book value. Their book value is probably overstated and they're trading below book value. So I think that what happened is these banks are underwriting these loans and Ant had no risk. So the regulator said this can't go on because they're worried about credit. So they wanted Ant to do a 30% reserve ratio, which upsets the business model. So Ant has to go back and, you know, and actually rethink that business model. So, and the first, I don't think, in other words, I don't think it's as bad as it seems. And I think it really had to do with the type of credit stress they may be adding to an already stressed banking system.
Yeah, that's the thing. Ant is not a new entity. It's been around for years. So why now? Why do the authorities take action now?
Well, because it was really the payment processing. And then now they got into the real lending. So, you know, they're sourcing lending and then they're securitizing those loans, but they're not taking any, they have no risk in the trade. So the banks have all the risk. So that's, I think, what really changed. And I think the model was really tilting that way. And, you know, that's why I think the regulator stepped in. But yeah, I mean, the payment system, but they have three times as many as PayPal has on their payment system. That's huge. So I still like it. But boy, it was sure much of a shock. And but it also tells you that in China, the rules are different there and they're much more stringent.
Tim, while we're on, and Alibaba has taken a bit of a tumble in its stock price over the last few days because of this. Alibaba does own a third of Ant Group. What kind of implication do you see this playing out into the into Baba overall?
I think Baba overall is going to be, it's giving a buy level for Baba. I actually, you know, when you look at Amazon and Baba, I think Baba's addressable market is bigger than Amazon's addressable market, number one. And they trade at a fraction of the multiple or valuation of Amazon. So I think that the weakness in Baba is a buying opportunity. So, you know, maybe I don't know how far it goes down, but maybe, you know, maybe back to like the two, I'm just throwing out a number, 250 or 260 or so in Baba might be a good entry point. But I like Baba long-term, and I think relative play to Amazon, I really like it.
Thanks so much for joining us this morning, Tim. That was Tim Mulholland, president of TJM Limited, based in Chicago, who sees Alibaba and their fall, the fall in their share price as a bit of a buying opportunity right now. He was also quite positive on the passing of Prop 22, which has seen Uber and Lyft get a bit of a boost as a result. And Uber actually also just reported their third quarter earnings. So they reported an adjusted loss of $625 million, which falls short of street expectations of $597 million. Revenue came in at $3.13 billion, also short of the expected $3.2 billion.
This seems to be driven by its food delivery unit, Uber Eats, doubled the revenue to $1.45 billion, the highest on record. But this unit is still loss-making, though. Although losses have been narrowing, Uber continues to spend money to secure the market, in the competitive, very competitive food delivery business, actually. And the company is hoping to close its $2.65 billion acquisition of smaller rival Postmates in the first quarter of 2021.
Yeah, so Uber has guided that they are reaffirming that they will see profit by the end of 2021. And this is because due to cost reductions, margin improvements in its Uber Eats food delivery business, combined with a return of growth.
Yeah, I think this has been a priority of Dara Khosrowshahi ever since he was installed as CEO, right? Ever since Travis Kalanick had to leave, basically, Dara has come in to bring some guidance into the company and make it mature and help it grow into an adult and all that jazz. And he seems to be focused very solely on that point.
Well, we'll have to wait until the end of 2021, it seems, to see whether or not Uber can fulfill on its promise of finally getting into the green by then. But right now, we have some messages for you. And then up next, we're going to be speaking with Ng Su Lin, Executive Director and Head of Indirect Tax for KPMG Tax Services, on her expectations for Budget 2021. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.